This week, I had the privilege to speak to someone who moved me deeply. His name is Gift. Yes, as in present, Gift of the Lord. His parents obviously felt they were receiving something very precious when he was born. Anyone who knows Africa at all will recognize the culture. But unfortunately for Gift and for his fellow countrymen, his situation today is dramatic and dangerous. Yes, because life for most people in Zimbabwe is not only a dire and uneven everyday struggle for food and other basic needs, it has become dangerous for the men and women awaiting an upcoming presidential runoff election they hope may be a milestone in the pathway towards change. In a nutshell, the people of Zimbabwe are gearing up for the presidential runoff between incumbent Robert Mugabe and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai on June the 27th. The first round in March was relatively peaceful, but the mood has changed since then. Mr. Tsvangirai gained more votes than Mr. Mugabe, and the opposition says its supporters have been targeted, assaulted, and killed in a bid to ensure the president remains in power. What's happening in Zimbabwe interests me deeply, but I have many qualms about asking people to speak out because they could be putting themselves in danger. It's that bad. But there are many brave people in Zimbabwe, and the beatings, Gift says, cannot change the course of history.
Currently in the country, there is so much violence, particularly in the countryside, which is out of media scrutiny.
Gift Mambitiri is the editorial assistant at Jesuit Communications in Zimbabwe's capital city, Harare.
People are being beaten, people are being abused, they are being forced to repeat slogans of political parties they do not, or they are alleged not to support. They are being threatened that once the opposition wins this election, then a war will break out simply because the opposition leader is alleged to be a friend of the Western imperialists. So there has been so much violence in the countryside, and of late the opposition supporters have been retaliating, hitting back at the ruling party supporters. But I think with the coming of SADC observers who came in the country yesterday, I think we may see an improvement as each party tries to cool its supporters, to pretend as if everything is okay. The government particularly, I hope it will do that like it did last time before the last election, which produced this stalemate. Once the observers came into the country, there was peace and tranquility, as if things are normal. Yet underground, we know they are not.
What are your hopes for the near future?
Well, I personally feel change is coming. We both can feel it. We can almost touch it. The beatings cannot change anything. If only our current leaders would remember that the colonialists used violence to threaten everyone who was helping the liberation fighters. But when change is coming, no one can stop it. The winds of change cannot be stopped by any force. So I hope we have change on the 27th of June, and thereafter we start the process of rebuilding, reconstructing this country.
Do you think the international community can and should step in to help?
I think that's long overdue. We have always said, as a country and as citizens of the world, that we're living in a global village where one thing that happens in a part of the world definitely has consequences somewhere else in the world. I think the international community, not only SADC and AU, but even the United Nations, because Zimbabwe is part of the United Nations, should help Zimbabweans by making sure primarily that before the June 27 election, they try to monitor the situation to see that we have a level playing field. That's primarily the role that I think they should play. And they should not tire also in condemning the current regime for what it has done to its people and what it represents as a government. Torture, violence, starving people, deceit, and denial of basic rights to its citizens. So I definitely believe the international community has a role to play. But like I indicated earlier on, not only SADC and AU, but even the United Nations.
We have you on our conscience. Can you just tell me what is the church doing at the moment to help the situation?
Yeah, the church is taking care of the brutalized, those with broken limbs, the starved. They are trying to shelter people, to feed them, and still making some noise to appeal to the conscience of all those responsible for the atrocities we are seeing right now, to stop the madness and respect human dignity. They issue pastoral statements, they issue press statements, calling all those behind this madness to stop. And I also think and believe it's high time the church should be forthright this time around in naming and shaming the perpetrators of this violence, other than just issuing abstract messages to say, please stop violence, please stop violence. I think they must come out in the open and say, Mr. Government, say, may you please stop what you are doing. This is contrary to the scriptural teachings. This is contrary to our norms as a people, as Zimbabweans, and as the children of God.
Gift's appeal is a powerful one. And notwithstanding the risk he is running in speaking so openly to me, he wants to expose the extent of the manipulation being perpetrated by the government as it nears the vote.
The government has been successful in sponsoring pseudo-pastors, those who only sing praises for the government. And so every day on national television, on our one and only national broadcaster, when we are told about the church, we only see the same faces of pseudo-pastors who heap praises on the government and denounce the opposition. And this has created a fiction amongst the lay. They don't know which voice apparently to listen to, though the majority knows. But I think some, quite a few, are lost in between. They hear the church is saying this, the church is saying good about government, yet we all know these are pseudo-pastors.
You're saying the manipulation of the government is going so far that it's actually created pseudo-figures that pass as pastors and priests?
Yes. We have one reverend. We don't even know if he has a church, but he's ever on TV coming with all type of inducements, housing stands, loans for starting businesses, and inviting people to the ruling party headquarters, where he operates from, and with also the defrocked Anglican bishop who's supported again by the government, who's ever at government functions and heaping praises on the government.
There are 3 weeks to go before the final vote takes place, and as Gift was saying earlier, the presence of SADC observers sent in by the South African Development Community should hopefully quell pre-electoral violence. Meanwhile, he said to me before putting the phone down, please pray for us.